Oh, that reminds me. I was going to put this out during announcements, but it slipped my mind, so I'll just put it out to you now. I've mentioned it once or twice before. As you come out this first set of doors there in the hallway where the sound booth door is, off to the right-hand side in that little vestibule, you'll see a stack of Bible tracts. They've all got the church's stamp on there. They're ready to hand out. They've been sitting up there. I encourage you, grab some of those tracts. We've got hundreds more. We're not going to miss them if they go missing. We want you to grab them and take them with you. Put them in your purse, in your pocket, in your car. Wherever you go, give those out to people. I encourage you to do so. Anything we can do to get the gospel out is a great thing. So just, those are out there for you if you want them. All right, well, tonight we're going to be going to Joshua, one of my favorite Bible heroes. And we're going to be going to chapter 6 of the book of Joshua. And our lesson tonight is titled, Overcoming the World. All right, Overcoming the World. So I'll turn there now as well. Now in Joshua, if you're following along in your Bible reading plans, then this week you've been reading through the book of Joshua. Now, the book of Joshua is a story about conquest. It's a story about victory. It's the nation of Israel. They are coming into Canaan. They're coming into the promised land. And the first thing that they do is they begin to have to fight for this land that God's promised them. They are now coming up against a different people. They're coming up against armies and strongholds and people who look very strong, fortified cities. Now, in chapter 6, one of the places that they're going to come up to as they go forth and begin to stake claim on this land, as they begin to defeat its inhabitants, the first place that they're going to come up to is a city known as Jericho. And we're going to be looking today at their battle with Jericho. All right? This is their first major battle. Now, before we get into the text, I want to give you a little bit of the historic background on the city of Jericho. I'll tell you a little bit about it and why it's so significant. Well, the first thing is Jericho was strategically placed, right? It is a fortified city, heavily walled, as anyone who knows the story of how Jericho fell knows that. But its position is strategic because it is placed near one of the few places that you can actually ford the Jordan River. And so if you were going to have a massive army come through, it is most likely that they are going to have to cross the Jordan at this area. And they'll immediately come up against Jericho. So Jericho is one of those cities that guarded the land and its inhabitants from people who would be coming in to attack them. Now, about Jericho. If you ever take a look at Jericho, it actually wasn't that large of a town. That wasn't that big. They say at best estimate right now was probably somewhere around 12 acres. Was the size of the city, all right? And there were walls all the way around. But there was actually two sets of walls, which is really interesting, all right? There was an inner wall, and there was an outer wall, and then I can't think of what they call it. I want to say it's like a parapet, but I don't really know if that's the right term. So let me explain it to you, and you'll get the picture in your mind, even if I'm not using the right terminology, right? So this outer wall, right? The outer wall is very high, very thick wall, and right behind that outer wall, you don't get into the city at this time. There is a sloped incline right behind that wall that leads up to another wall. This is the outer wall, and then the sloped incline, and then the inner wall. So if you were to get through that outer wall, you still haven't accessed the city. You now have an uphill climb. As you're trying to get up this incline, you're taking tar, anything they're throwing down at you, arrows, all of this, right? And then you have another, even thicker wall on the inside. Now, the interesting thing about this is, you guys remember the story of Rahab? The inner wall, there is a section of the inner wall that comes right up against the back of the city where they've actually found like windows and things like that where people were living in that section of the wall. Now, we don't know if that's where Rahab was or any of that, but they have actually found in the archaeological digs, they found a place in the wall where people were actually living there, which is interesting to note. So this is a very important city, right? It's not just any old city. So they crossed into the Jordan, came into Canaan, and they came up against this obstacle. And they had to decide something immediately when they come up against this. Imagine for a minute, put yourself into the shoes of the Israelites, They come through this desert wandering that they just come through. They cross the Jordan, and one of the first places they come up to is this massively walled city. They had to make a choice right then. Were they going to continue on the path that God had laid before them for this conquest, or would they turn back now? Because so far, they haven't really had to fight for anything. They've been a lot of grumbling, a lot of complaining as God's been leading them through this wilderness. He is, through all of their grumbling and complaining against him, he has been providing and taking care of them, right? But now it comes to a place where they are going to have to fight, and they have a decision to make. Are they going to go forward and trust in God, or will they turn back? I put a note here, and then we'll get right into the text. The note that I placed here says that God has a plan and a roadmap for each and every one of us to follow. As we follow his plan, the world likes to place obstacles in our path, just like the Israelites came into the obstacle of Jericho as they were following God's plan for them. When we come up to these obstacles in our path, these separations, these walls, these hurdles that want to stop us from the things that God has intended for us, we have to decide on how we're going to confront and deal with these obstacles. The book of Joshua, it talks about how to overcome the world. Join me here in chapter 6. We're going to read the first 5 verses, and then we'll talk about them. Talking of the siege at Jericho. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now, this horn made of a ram's horn that he's talking about, they call that a shofar. Right? Have you guys ever seen one? You ever tried to blow on a shofar? It is a lot harder than it looks. We stopped in at Israel, and they had these things in the marketplace. You could buy one. And I knew what it was, so of course I had to mess with it. I was like, this is pretty cool. I'm not going to see this again. I couldn't get a sound out of that. I tried. But you can, if you get online, you listen to one, or you get one on, you can find recordings of them. There, you can't control the sound that comes out of it. It's just this long, loud noise that comes out. But it's called the shofar. And I want to bring our attention to some of the things that's outlined here in verses 1 through 5. First thing is that Jericho has heard of this massive army of God's people that is coming. And in the first verse there, it talks, God is telling him that he's delivered Jericho into their hands, right? It's interesting, though. It says that now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. So basically what they had done is they had shut the gates, no traffic in or out. This was a common practice because obviously they don't want spies coming in. They don't want people coming in and taking a look at what weapons they have, what their stores are, trying to find weaknesses, which is what a wise military leader would do, right? So no one was allowed in or out. The next thing I want us to take a look at is that notice what God is doing. As he's speaking here to Joshua, he is giving Joshua his marching orders, basically. He's telling him exactly how they are, how the people of Israel, how they are to approach and confront this obstacle. Do you notice that? He gives them step-by-step directions what to do. He says, you're to do this for 6 days. On the 7th day, I want you to do this. Here's how I want you to do it. And then when you do that, this is the promise. All the walls will fall down, and then you can all go in straightly, and they'll be delivered. I want us now to draw application from that in our lives today. God gives us the directions and the instructions that we need in his word on how to confront the issues of this life. whatever it is that is ailing us, whatever it is that we're dealing with, there is guidance in the Word of God on how to go about confronting that, how to deal with that. What we have to do is decide if we're going to trust that God's Word is accurate, that God's able, and whether or not He is going to fulfill what He says He will fulfill. Now, as I think about that, I've tried to put my place again into the mind, into the shoes of Joshua and these Israelites. Now, they're looking at these walls, and they've just been told that if you just walk around it for the next 7 days, the walls will fall down. This brings that scripture, lean not on your own understanding, to a whole new meaning, right? This is one of those things where you've really got to believe that the Lord is able and that the Lord will do what He says He'll do. It's in times like this in our own lives that we have to acknowledge that God has a plan and that He is going to do those things. Where we often fail is we often try to struggle against the world on our own strength. We try to overcome it ourselves. And it's not until we reach the end of our resources, we reach the end of our ability, we hit rock bottom, that we finally go, Lord, I can't do this. And that's when we seek God's way. Isn't that how we are more often than not? That's how I've been a majority of my life. It's not until I get to that point where I have to face the fact that this is beyond me, that it's out of my hands. Those are the times that we really get on our knees and start to say, Lord, I've been a fool. Help me with this. Show me what to do. What do you need? What am I supposed to do here? Well, what we ought to learn here is I want us to see how Joshua responds to God's instructions, and we're going to learn some lessons about how to overcome the world, how to overcome those obstacles the correct way, rather than the way that we usually do, which is waiting till the last minute. First thing I want us to note is God has the power. I want us to note here, if you go to verse 12 now, jump down to verse 12, and we're going to look at how Joshua reacts to God's instructions, right? Which, as I said, to him has to be something completely ununderstandable. The walls are going to fall down from walking around it. What does he say, though, in verse 12? And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. So right there, what does he do as soon as he rises up? It says he rose up early in the morning, and immediately he and the priests, they begin to do what God instructed them to do that day. And if we read the rest of the verses here, 13 through, well, we just read 12 and 13. If we read 14 through 20, you'll see that the nation of Israel, they follow God's instructions for those next 6 days, the 7 days is complete, right? So the first thing that I want to put our attention in here is that, first and foremost, to trust in the Lord to fight battles for you, not with you. You see, it was not the Israelites that brought down the walls. It wasn't Joshua, the great military leader, who had a plan to take down Jericho. They really didn't do any of the fighting. It was God that was going to win that battle for them. It was God that was going to bring down the barrier. It was God that was going to bring down the walls and show Himself mighty here. The way in which that their obstacles were overcome is supernatural. And that's the same thing God does in our lives today. When we come up against those things that we don't know how to get the victory over, those things that we've been battling for years, those things that either we've been battling or someone else has been battling, that it seems we always come back to this. Well, maybe the reason that we keep battling it is because we're the ones doing the fighting and now we're not letting God do the fighting. That's something that we need to learn from, that we need to remember. When those things come, trust that God has got it under control. Go to His Word and rise up early in the morning straightway and follow God's instructions for our lives. It will always be the best plan. It should never be the last plan. Continue here with me as we read from 14. Well, yeah, let's just jump down to 20 here. We'll jump right to the fun part here, where the walls fall down, right? Now, I'm sure that Joshua had questions. I have no doubt about that. I mean, like I said, put yourself in his shoes. You are now responsible for this great people, and you're going to go tell the whole nation, guys, here's our battle strategy. I want you guys to be completely quiet, except for the priests, and we're going to walk in a circle for the next 6 days, and then on the seventh day, we're going to do a bunch of circles, and then we're just going to go in and conquer. Can you imagine what kind of a pep talk he must have had to back that one up? It's time to get people going. You're going to give them that talk, right? But hop down to verse 20 with me here. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. God's promises are good. God's promises are true. There is nothing in your lives or in my life that he can't overcome, that he doesn't know about. We may not understand the way in which he decides to deliver. We may not understand the road that he has us to walk, or the path, or the things that come into our lives, though they may be difficult. But what we can learn here from Joshua and Jericho is that there's nothing too great for God. And that if we just trust in him, his promises will be fulfilled. He will do what he says he'll do. The second thing, we need to learn to obey the Lord immediately. It says that Joshua rose up early in the morning. God should be our first and only option, not our last resort. So the first thing is trust in the Lord. The second thing is obey the Lord immediately. I want to read a note here. Just as the hymn writer explains in the song Trust and Obey, Joshua and the Israelites did not defeat Jericho. God did the conquering. God was the one leading. God was the one delivering. A lot of people see the story of Joshua and how he was this great military leader. But again, I want to emphasize to you, Joshua was just a faithful man. That's all he was. Moses, again, just a faithful man. All of the Bible heroes, when we read through Scripture, when we read through this book, when we take God's Word and we look through it, all of our Bible heroes, all the people that we look to that did these miraculous things, that were leading the nation, that did these things that are just unfathomable to us today, it was never them that accomplished any of these things. Do you realize that? They were people just like you and I. They had faith, though. And it was because of that faith that God chose to use them. I don't believe that Joshua was some great military leader. I don't believe that Joshua was the reason that the Israelites were able to take Canaan, that they were able to take the promised land. It had nothing to do with Joshua and everything to do with God. When we come up against a Jericho in our lives, we face those walls. We think about how we're going to get around them, how we're going to get over them, through them, under them. Our focus is continuously on the wall and what we're going to do about it. But our focus shouldn't be on the wall. Our focus should be on God. How to say that? Let God be the one that brings the walls down. Let God be the one that brings the walls down. Go over to verse 21 now. Hop down just one verse from 20 where we were just at. And I want to read you something here in these next four verses that says a whole lot about God's character in hard times. There, verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But I want you to note what comes next. Even though they destroyed everything and everyone in the city, it goes on to tell us more. Verse 22 says, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And bring the young men that were spies that went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp in Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Now, before we read verse 25, I want to stop there for a second. It was customary, anytime an army is going in and conquering, or an army is waging war, right? You've probably heard of a term called the spoils of war, right? It's when you go in and all of the goods, the gold, anything of value, you take that, right? You despoil them. Those are your spoils, your winnings from the war, from the fight. I want you to notice something, again, that I want us to make application to our lives today. What did it say that they burnt up? Everything except for the silver and the gold only, right? What was the silver and the gold? Why didn't they burn that? Well, let's take a quick look and we'll read it again, just so that you don't miss it. And it says, they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron, here it is, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And here's where the application comes for our lives. When we have those victories in our life, when we have those times when God does bring those walls down, whenever those obstacles, those mountains that are in our way seem to be moved aside, God makes a way for us, it's important that we do what we see here. We take that victory and we give that credit to God. The glory goes to God. The spoils go to God. You see, far too often, people of the world want God to move, but then whenever he does move, they don't give him the credit for it. They don't give him the glory for it. They say, well, yeah, here's what ended up happening. And they brush it off as coincidence, or they brush it off as their own wisdom. They don't understand that it was a blessing, that it was God moving in their lives. Someone who has a relationship with the Lord, though, is someone who's able to look back, and they say that hindsight's 20/20, right? You've heard that saying? You've probably said that before. Someone who has a relationship with the Lord has the wisdom enough to look back and see God moving in their life through the good times and the bad times. Here, whenever I see that they took all of the valuable things and they gave it to the treasury of the Lord, they didn't take it under their own. It wasn't for themselves. They put that into the Lord's treasury, those things which were dedicated to God. Everything of value went to him. Now let's go to verse 25, and I want to pay some special significance here. This is very important. Verse 25 says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Note that Rahab's deliverance from the destruction at Jericho was of special significance. It paints a vivid picture of salvation. Even though when the army of Israel, when God's judgment, when God's wrath came upon them, which, side note, the nation of Israel was God's judgment on the wickedness of the land of Canaan. Not every time that God moves in judgment does it have to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, where he brings down brimstone. Here he's using God's people to judge the wicked. When that happens, he still always leaves a way for salvation. There's always a way out. That mercy is still there, even in wrath and judgment. Rahab was saved out of that. If you remember just a few verses ago, the scripture's talking to us about how everything in the city was burnt with fire. They slew everything, women, men, children. They slew the livestock, everything. And then it was burnt. Which, if you ever take a look at the historical records of Jerusalem, it shows that the entire city was burnt and that the walls all around the city did collapse. There's actually a documentary, which I don't want to, give any props to this documentary, but I thought it was pretty interesting. It's called Patterns of Exodus, Patterns of Evidence, talking about the Exodus, and it shows there an archaeological dig of Jericho. And it talks about how the archaeologists there and the geologists and those that did all the studies, it shows how those walls came down. though they can't explain how it happened, it does show that all the walls came down except in one area. Do you know what the one area is that those walls didn't come down at is? This is documented. It's pretty neat. Remember how I told you there was one spot in the wall where they could see where people were living at? In all of Jericho, that's the one spot of all the wall that's still standing. And there are dwelling places in that part of the wall. Pretty neat stuff. I just thought I'd tell you about that because it paints a vivid picture of God's salvation. You see, Rahab, whenever she acknowledged and she took care of the spies that came to land, she was acknowledging that these were the people of God. She was acknowledging that God is able to deliver them into the hand of the Israelites. She was acknowledging by faith. And what happened? She was saved and her whole family were saved. I think that's an interesting point to make, which brings us to the third point. God promises salvation from judgment and destruction for those who believe. God promises salvation from destruction and from judgment for those who believe. There is always a promise of salvation from judgment for those of faith. And, you know, the same still stands true today, and that's why this is something of special importance, special significance. Every time that we see the Lord acting in judgment, acting in wrath, he always moves in mercy at the same time, every single instance that we see in Scripture. You never see God act out in judgment without first acting in mercy, ever. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Brings me back to that. Before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, did he not send the angels into the city to see if there were any righteous there and to bring out those that were? Think of the flood with Noah. Noah was building that ark for a good long time. Noah was telling people, there's a flood coming, get on the ark. He saved them from that. I think of every single instance throughout all of the Word of God, when God moves in judgment, he is always merciful first. And the same is true for us today. The reason I want to make this application is that there's another judgment that's going to be coming. At the end of days, there'll be another judgment. But God has already acted in mercy. He's already given our opportunity for salvation. And that opportunity comes through the blood of Christ, only through the blood of Christ. You see, and I spoke about this just this past Sunday. The Bible is the same story told over and over and over. Man separates himself from God because of our sin. God, due to his righteousness and holiness, must judge sin. But because of his love and his mercy, he forgives that sin if we have faith in Christ, our Passover lamb. So, before we get prepared to close the service, I want to encourage a couple of things. First of all, let's go over the topics for tonight, the primary points. One, trust in the Lord to fight your battles. Don't do it on your own. That's something that Joshua knew, and we see that. As again, he rose up early in the morning. He went straight to the instruction of the Lord. That should be where we go first. Go to the Word of God in those hard times. Trust in him to deliver you. The second thing, obey the Lord immediately. Immediately. Don't wait to the end. He should be the first priority, not the last resort. Don't wait until all of our earthly means are spent. Don't wait till we're at rock bottom, as they say, and then go to God. Save yourself a lot of hardship by following God right off the start. Third thing, remember that God promises. He promises salvation from judgment. As we close, I want to encourage everyone to trust and obey God in all things. Allow God to fight the battles. Allow him to command the movements of your life. When a wall comes up, trust that God is in command, that he's leading you down the path that you need to go down. Again, remember that Joshua wasn't a great man. He was just a man. It was God that did the fighting. Today, a question as we get ready to close is, are you a Joshua today? Are you someone who, when those obstacles get into your path, when you're faced with these things, do you do as Joshua does here at the siege of Jericho, as the nation of Israel does, when they first come up against this fortified city, this wall that stops them, do you go to the Lord and follow the instructions immediately? Is that where you are? Or are you still trying to do things on your own power? Is there something in your life that you're fighting against? When you're faced with obstacles, don't try to find your own way through. Trust in God. That's the main message that I want us to get out of the book of Joshua, out of chapter 6, the siege of Jericho. I can't emphasize it enough. They could not have done that on their own. Those walls would have stood, they'd be standing today, I have no doubt, if it wasn't for God bringing them down. And he can do the same in your life, and he can do the same in my life. So if you are facing something, if there's something that's on your heart, if there's something that's been holding you down, getting in your way, stopping you from your relationship with God, either having a relationship with God or taking that next step in your relationship with God, if there's something in your life that's been holding you back, go to the Lord about it. Follow his will, follow his plan. As we close tonight, I was going to have a hymn, but we don't really have a piano player, so I guess we'll just close out in prayer, and I'll spare you guys my singing voice with no music to drown it out. So you're welcome. It's a gift. All right. Join me as we take this to the Lord. Father God, we come to you tonight, and Father, we thank you. Thank you for the time that we've had together here, Lord, in your house. Father, I thank you for the worship that we had this evening, and for those people who have been able to come out here to gather together in your name, Lord. We thank you for the message. Father, I hope that it is an encouragement to all of us that you'd be with us through all things, and that when we come up against those walls, Father, help us to remember always to seek you, to come to you first, to find out how it is that we should navigate this life, how we should navigate those things which get in our way. Lord, help us not to get focused on the wall. Help us not to get focused on the hurdles in this life, those things that we come up against and we can't see a way around. Father, never let us forget that you're in control, that you have a plan, Lord. Father, we thank you also for that in those times we know that your promises are good, your promises are true. Lord, we thank you for the mercy. We thank you for the cross, for the blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary for us. Father, we pray for the church, for those that are here today and those that couldn't be, Lord, that you would use us in a mighty way for your glory. I thank you for all these things. In Christ's name, amen.